Good evening. Welcome. It's 6 o'clock, and we'll start our public hearing. If you'll please stand and join me in a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'll offer a prayer for us. Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful we can come together as Meadowtown and talk about the issues before us, and we're thankful for the blessings we have here in this community. We're thankful for those who work so hard to make this such a great place to live. We pray that will help us make good decisions, that will help us both in the short term and in the long term to provide for our way of life here. We pray that will bless us with the moisture we're so desperately in need of, and this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thank you. So, a little bit unusual long-term agenda. If we can talk big picture, we've got two public hearings, and then a regular town council meeting. We'll open each meeting, we'll close each meeting independently, so they're all three distinct. And so we want to make sure that happens. The first public hearing we have tonight is to talk about the proposed wildland urban interface ordinance. Now, this is something we've heard about probably for a little over two months. We've been talking about this in our town council. We've had some folks come in and visit with us about that, but we want to have a public hearing just to hear what the public has to say. And what that could mean to us. And then we have the opportunity later this evening in our town council portion, if we want to accept, amend, pass, reject, whatever we want to do with that ordinance. Any questions or comments from the town council as we prepare to open this up for public comment? Okay, that's fine. Okay, so with that, we will... let me get my stopwatch up here, someone. We'll open it up for public comments. Is there any public comment on our wildland urban interface proposed ordinance?
Yeah, the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is your map. It's incorrect. It doesn't outline Meadowtown. If you look at this map up here through the well protection zone, that's the proper shape of the town. Your map also doesn't define any buoy interfaces, and it doesn't say that there are any buoy interfaces. Something that would be very helpful would be to go through this map and put all of the county zoning areas around the town to show people that there are no buoy interfaces. So we're required by the state to adopt these building standards, but they have no application in metal because there is no buoy interface. But it also requires you to appoint a code enforcer and make an office, which would be useless because they didn't have anything to do. They're supposed to enforce the code which is imposed by this. It's a supplemental one to the regular building code. It doesn't replace it. So I would suggest there that maybe if you have to make this office and appoint someone, you said that you point out that we have no buoy areas, and maybe say that the code enforcer will be appointed upon determining that we have a buoy interface, and that the office will be not operable until needed. It also, the buoy code also requires you to reevaluate every 3 years, so you can go in and reevaluate it every 3 years, and if there's no interface, then there's no reason, there's no code to enforce. Just to point out some of the things that are included in this code, is some of the things they want to do is provide access to all your properties and put premises identification, key boxes. If you've got a locked gate, they want a key in their key box so they have access to your property. This is based on the International Building Code, which means that input comes from all over the world telling us what we need to do in our town. I would also suggest that if you do adopt the code, do not adopt the appendixes, because there are some even more restrictive items in that. They want you to get a permit to plant a shrub or a tree, and they give you certain distances away from your house, and they specify what kind of shrubs you can plant or trees. And here's a statement. It says, nothing herein shall derogate from the authority of a code official to determine compliance with the codes. So that means it doesn't matter what it says in the code. If the code official says a rock is a flammable item, then it's a flammable item. So it places all control in the hands of one appointed official. They also can evict you from your home if they determine that there's a hazardous condition there. And that's determined by the code official, too. The code official can also appoint deputies, as many as he wants, and they have the same authority as he does. If you have what the code enforcer determines as flammable material, you have to provide a report at your expense, produced by engineers or other qualified people, which proves that you don't have it. So, in other words, you're guilty until you prove otherwise. They have the right of entry. In other words, they can come into your property at any time and inspect your house as many times as they deem necessary. The code official can't be sued. It says the code official member of the Board of Appeals or employee charged with the enforcement of this code while acting for the jurisdiction in good faith without malice, and who determines that, shall not thereby be rendered personally liable, either civilly or criminally, and is hereby relieved from all personal liability for any damage accruing to persons or property as a result of an act or by reason of any act of omission in the discharge of his official duties. And then if they are sued, the town will pay for his defense. Here's some of the things they regulate. Candles and open flames in assembly areas, fireworks, flammable or combustible liquids. You got a gallon of gas in your garage, that's regulatable. Liquefied petroleum gases. You've got a tank for your barbecue, that's regulatable. Open burning. Tents and canopies, welding and cutting operations. The code official is authorized to stipulate conditions for permits. So, the way I see this code is it's not about protecting us from wildfires or from fires from our property going out somewhere else. I mean, it's a Trojan horse, and it's like the old magician's trick. Watch here, I'm going to give you some money to pay for the fire if it goes off. Well, they got this other hand slapping me in the head, appointing this code enforcer and giving him all power within your town to control your property. And even what things you plant in your yard. When it talks about the objective, here it says the format of this had appealed to both code officials and the builder development community. Now, where is the general public included in that? Okay, now here's something else I would suggest too. It says MOM code, which is what this is, provides an option for exceptional situations. In our case, that may be, we don't have a WUI interface. Exceptional situations requiring local modifications. Specific problems can be addressed by a specific process enabling the level of particular requirements to being adjusted. The solution was that commonly made available, a model of adoption process was the development of written findings of facts that justified modifications by the code officials. So, if we don't have a WUI interface, then we ought to be able to come up with a set of facts and demonstrate to the state that we don't need to have this code because it doesn't apply to us.
Thanks, Mark. Okay. Thanks. Tony.
Yes. Kind of just what he said, that we don't have any wildland interfaces. I took my motorcycle when I rode up to the closest BLM wildland we have is 2.1 miles east of town. It's 2.5 miles west of town. Nothing between Fillmore and Kanawha. So we have no wild WUI interface as far as I can see. So the part that he didn't cover is financing this compliance officer. They're going to put a flat fee on every structure on your property, and it will be assessed to you in the fall from on your property tax. It could be as low as $20 or $100, depending upon the size of the structure. But that's every structure on your property, so property taxes are going to go up big time to finance this.
Insurance.
And also they're going to use the results of assessments to set insurance rate. It'll be available to insurance companies. So here's what's going to happen. Probably your property tax is going to go up and also your insurance rates. So that's how that's going to be financed. And to me, why not use that money to go towards your insurance? There's people in town right now that I know of that are on the edge of dropping their insurance because they can't afford it. So another thing is there's contradictions in the Utah Code plus your ordinance. 102.2, provisions of this code shall not be deemed to nullify any provisions of state, local, state, or federal law. But in your ordinance, which you're proposing tonight, says all Middletown ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance are hereby repealed. So my question is, why not just list those ordinances out that will be repealed if this is enacted? What are they? We would like to know. We'll just sign off on it. Then another scary thing in your ordinance here. Middletown Council declares that it would have passed this ordinance and each section, subsection, clause, phrase thereof, regardless of the fact that any one or more section, subsection, clauses, or phrases may be declared unconstitutional. I wouldn't want to put my name on this if I was sitting up there where you guys are. But I do have a question, and I know you won't answer it, but how many of you actually sat down and read this code?
I read what I could find online.
Mark and I read the whole thing, plus the appendices, 2 days. Just like every one of you should have. So you should already know all this. But we knew that probably no one would read it before they signed off on it. So we did.
Yeah. If you go...
Okay, thanks, Mark. Let's not interrupt him, please. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Okay, so my recommendation, this is horrible. This is a horrible piece of legislation. You said it, and I agree with you 100%. This is horrible. We don't have any WUI interface that meets this criteria. We shouldn't be adopting it. I agree with you.
Okay, thanks. Do we have others that would like to speak on this ordinance?
So I got something to say on it.
Yeah.
So we don't have any wildland urban interface in Meadowtown city limits. But who's to say that someday somebody may not want to annex Forest Service boundary? And then we will at that point have wildland urban interface in Meadowtown. You can shake your heads no all you want.
Right behind you there. There's the map.
Hey, but no one interrupted you. Let's not be rude.
What I'm saying is, eventually, Meadow will get big enough that it gets into the wildland urban interface. This code helps to regulate how people can build where the wildfires are going to be. I'm for this code.
Thanks, Rick.
That's all I got.
Thanks. Any other commenters? Zane.
This Bill H-48 you're talking about is the most unconstitutional thing there is. And metal will never grow that much to go into these lands. I can guarantee you, in your lifetime, probably. Yeah, it's wrong. On the topic, Mark kind of touched bases on this. Local adaptation. If your township contains no formally designated blue areas, your local government can pass a resolution stating that the construction and defensible space and fee requirements do not apply. You don't have to sign off on this. You don't have to accept this. It's in there. You guys sign off on this tonight, you're just signing your life away. This is stupid. This is unconstitutional. It goes into your home and privacy and your yard. It's not even, it's a no-brainer. And you even mentioned it in one meeting, you didn't like it. So I'm hoping you guys are listening tonight about how bad this is.
Sure. Thanks. Lynn?
Just a comment. Greg and Mark here, didn't Mark say that it's going to be re-looked at every 3 years anyway? Then why do it now? Can't talk enough.
You guys are welcome to take conversations outside. Absolutely welcome to. But this is, the conversation here should influence how you want the town to vote, right, later this evening. So you're welcome to go out and...
No, I'm just...
Okay.
Distinguishing between what the two comments were.
Okay. Any other comments on this tonight?
Yeah. Can I give some more comment?
Are you going to cover the same material we've already covered?
No. I would like to see on your map, I'd like to see the town make a resolution that states that there are no WUI areas in conjunction with the town, and I'd like to see that posted on the map so that anybody that looks at that map can see that there is no WUI interface. And also, if you look at our annexation area, even the annexation area doesn't come anywhere close to a WUI area. And it's on that map that I was pointing out there.
Okay.
And like the ordinance says, it has to be reevaluated every 3 years. So if you reevaluate it every 3 years and there is a WUI interface or they decide to have more annexation area, which I would think that this would this would discourage people from wanting to annex closer to wildlands because of the insurance and fees associated with it. But if that should happen, it can be evaluated in 3 years, and then it can, the ordinance can take effect.
Okay.
That covers everything.
Thanks. Anything else?
Just one small thing. This puts a serious burden on the citizens now that, as you've said yourself, are struggling, which is why we got a utility refund maybe in December, a serious burden on them, not just because of the tax increase, but also probably your insurances. Once they've got a picture of your property, it's likely going to go up. That's what's happened in other areas. So to me, this is a great injustice to our people if you pass this ordinance.
Any new comments?
So what you're talking about has nothing to do with this 2024 wildland urban interface code.
Okay.
You're talking about House Bill 48.
Greg, hang on a second. So before we get into some back and forth from the group, which is fine. You guys are welcome to take that outside while the town does their business. There's some different things going on here. So we want to be open to the comments that are coming in that can help inform the town council on how they possibly could vote this evening. So if there's confusion on House Bill 48 among the group, if there's confusion on or concerns about the International Wildland Urban Interface Code, if there's confusion about what defines wildland urban interface, in your mind, you're welcome to have that opinion. You absolutely can. But I think the elected officials want to hear your opinion on what this is. So if you want to take some conversations outside, you're welcome to do that. But any other comments on the proposed wildland urban interface ordinance? Okay. Anything from our town council members?
Well, whereas this is a hearing, it's more of just listening to
absolutely
the public and not debating amongst ourselves at this point. I've got some notes here, and I think some others do too, but so I don't have anything.
Okay, and that's fine, right? I just want to give you a chance to say anything that's specifically on your mind. Do we have a motion to adjourn, or do you want to keep this alive for a little while longer?
I don't think we need to keep it alive. I think we can adjourn this public hearing. I think we've heard quite a few comments from those who are here.
We have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Monica, I'll let you reset that.